Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show. We feature an in-depth Bible study each week, so you can send all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network to our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, the fifth day of December, 2019, and the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10, through chapter 32, verse 2, Hosea chapter 12, verses 13 through chapter 14, verse 9, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook. .com/WatchmanIS216, Instagram.com/WarnRadio, also Twitter.com/WarnRadio, Twitter.com/WatchmanIS216, LinkedIn.com/IN/Watchman. You can also find our shows on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, Cast Addict, and Google Podcast. And you can find our shows on our website at warn-usa.com. And you can also on our websites, we have the Spreaker app on warn-usa.com and also on danaglennsmith.com. Dana has two articles this week we're featuring, The Cup of Sorrows, The Truth of Righteousness. The Cup of Sorrows, The Battle for Truth and Righteousness, finds it in the times of sorrows, commonly called the last days, or the last of the last days. It pits nations of men against the Lord and his anointed. It brings tools to this battle using governments, laws, action, and wickedness. Today, there are those who will stop at nothing to get their agenda fulfilled, whether it be worldwide Islamic rule, globalist socialism, or nations of hedonism. Many would destroy to get the thing they cherish. Also, servant disciple. He is not above his master. Servant disciple. One of the common themes in the gospel end of days scenario is trouble worldwide. Matthew chapter 24 warns we are not to be deceived. Not only the chaos of wars between nations and ethnic groups will occur, we also find natural disasters, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes around the world during this same period of time. The startling fact is that these things are described as the beginning of sorrows. Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13 also relate the troubling end of days scenarios. So you can read those articles on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Please be sure to take time to read these articles and pass them on to your friends. And tonight on Battle Lines, the Watchman teaches on Oracles of Damascus, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 27. In our continuing series, we now come to Damascus and the oracle that Isaiah saw. He was shaken and also was moved at the extreme vision of the judgment. But it is not only Damascus here, but Ephraim is in this as well. We find the glory of Jacob, which denotes the kingdom of Israel, in it also. Excuse me. The vision and the subject is prophetic. It is a lesson for today's modern world. Technology or wealth will not alleviate the burden. Excuse me. Now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Well, we are here on a Thursday night. It's hard to believe that we've gotten this far. We are in December of 2019. This whole year went by fast. And we pretty much listened to the Democrats and their whining about Trump the whole time. Well, today they finally decided to, Pelosi commanded them to bring forth the papers of impeachment. It's kind of funny she said that since they've already filled them out a long time ago. And of course, in her eyes and the others on the committee, they were just. Of course, Hollywood is behind them because Hollywood has always hated Trump. So the whole thing is nothing but nonsense.
Boy, that's for sure.
And then, of course, they talked out again today that, hey, they can continue this through the next 4 years, when Trump gets elected again. So it's hard to believe how people can be so hateful, so persistent in their iniquity and sin, not to know what truth is. And there is no justice in the House. They say they have justice. They don't have justice. They don't know what justice is. This whole thing is sin. And of course, and I hear, a lot of things coming from various quarters. And of course, there's a lot of voices out there that treat anybody that supports Trump as a moron, as a fool. But anytime you see this guy by the name of Donald Trump go anywhere and have one of his midweek, or end of week meetings, he's got a packed house, both inside and outside the house.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
Yeah, it's clear the American people are behind him. They are all for this, as Hannity, I believe it was Hannity, who said, this is what draining the swamp looks like. They don't want to be drained. But the whole thing is just nothing but a bunch of baloney, as I said before. And, people are consumed with this. I just, I literally on a lot of the articles, the news stuff, I just, since I've got my own app to read them all, I just clear them all out. I don't even read them. When I get on Twitter, any of our social feeds, I usually just clear everything out. I don't read them anymore. Not much. I'm not even, do what you're going to have to do. The Lord's in charge because only He knows truth and you aren't going to listen. And it is about as wicked and dishonest as you can get. You're so blind, you'll never see it. I don't expect Hollywood to listen because Hollywood's, as they used to say when my dad was alive, nothing but a bunch of pimps and whores. And there are some good people out there, believe you me. And, our family comes from California. We have deep roots in California, but I am ashamed to say that our family ever had anything to do with that state. because the state of the of California is pathetic. And, you know, every one of them that are running for the Democratic nomination is pathetic. And, you know, if the Democrats win and they want to take it down, that go after it. Because I guarantee you, within 2 terms, you will have pretty much destroyed America. You will never get back any semblance of what has been trying to be done. And you'll be overrun with depression and joblessness and more murders than you can shake a stick at, because you Dems are, in your present state, lawless. And as
far
as I'm concerned, as a watchman, you know, I've been warning about judgment on this nation. And as far as I'm concerned, this whole situation is anathema and it's cursed. Because anytime you start putting up people who are willing to bear false witness, you're headed into trouble. And that means lying. And that's what you've been doing. You have no proof, and yet Pelosi stands up there and says that she's not angry at or mad at President Trump, which is a bold-faced lie. She's a liar. And they try to put up the fact that they've got proof from patriotic Americans. That's a lie. Those are liberals. They have hated Trump from the beginning. Nobody brought forth any truth at all. They never allowed Trump to stand up and even face his accusers, guaranteed by the Constitution. This is a pathetic example of justice. And I'm not even a Republican. And I'll tell you, from the outlook of all this thing, yeah, I'm not a Democrat either. But I am an American, and I am a watchman. And I frankly don't take comfort in a lot of the churches either that are lukewarm, and many who side on the wrong side, who don't see really what this is about. This is about judgment on your nation. There's a divide in this nation. I warned about this some time ago, a couple years ago. And as far as I'm concerned, we're going down the road, and you'd better clean up your act, because, you know, this may be the sign that this is the end. And I'm just waiting on seeing what the Lord will do. But frankly, I do not think that they will ever impeach Trump. It'll never get done. I don't think at all that they will even begin to win. I think Trump will win the next election unless something happens. I'm not going to say what that is, but, you know, again, my hope is not in America. It's not in Trump. It's not in the Democrats or the Republicans. My hope is in the Lord God. We are in the end of days, and the nations of earth are being shaken, and it's going to continue to be shaken. And if you don't like it, tough manure pile, because that's where we're headed, baby. Get your foot out of hell. And stop trying to stick one foot in heaven and the other foot in hell and try to expect to see the Lord redeem you. You need to get both feet out of hell, and you need to serve him with your whole heart.
That's right. Amen.
So at any rate, I'm going to start this, Tower.
Okay. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We're talking about the Oracle of Damascus. And Isaiah 17:1, the burden of Damascus. Isaiah sees this. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Now the Septuagint says for a ruin. The Vulgate says as a ruin. And if you've ever seen the ruins of cities gone by, some of them don't have much left. So Damascus would have nothing left. Now see, Damascus today is not a ruin. And so many people believe there is, when concerning Damascus and prophecy, that there will be a time when Damascus will be totally a ruinous heap. But Tiglath-Pileser had carried away the people of Damascus in the fourth year of the reign of Ahaz, and you can find that in 2 Kings 16:9. But now in Hezekiah's reign, a further overthrow is foretold. And it has already been observed that the prophecy that relates to Damascus was executed in the beginning of the reign of Ahaz, probably about the third year. So it's kind of interesting when we see all this. And of course, like I said before, many people do see that Damascus will become a ruinous heap. The word is used when we talk about a ruinous heap. It relates to a mutilated city, according to Kyle and DeLeish. A mutilated city, which don't pretty much lend you to want to be there. Now, in Isaiah 7, 1 through 9, when we talk about, some of the background, some of the stuff we've already covered, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramaliah, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved in the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord to Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit in the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and saying to him, take heed, be quiet, and fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoke and firebrands. For the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Ramaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Ramaliah will have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach thereof for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And with 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. And of course, this is talking about the judgment. And of course, they didn't at all make it against Judah. So at any rate, in Isaiah 17:2, the cities of Aroer, which means to lay bare or to be naked, that is land. These were lands to the east. It was an old Amorite city which had been given to Reuben, they're forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. And so in this particular, the cities of Aroer signifies another state of desolation and solitude. And, you know, when you're talking about judgment, when you're talking about somebody that can march a big army, when you get into war like this and you get these massive armies, they just, everything is laid bare. And, if we take, for instance, in recent memory, when ISIS went through Syria and Iraq, they would kill everything. They would strip everything. They would burn what churches they could. They would pillage it, take out everything. They were taking over the property of the Christians. When the Christians leave, they would live in these homes. They would take over everything. They would take anything in the field. There was nothing left when they left. And this is pretty much, when we're talking in the Old Testament, I mean, even in the time of Europe and the kings, you had a big army, or in the time of Constantine, or in the time of Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, all of these that had great armies, when they went across, they would just devastate everything. And many times a slaughter was a specific slaughter to really illustrate to the people and not to resist. So when we get in Isaiah's day and you find the judgment and when you find things coming, it's like when we talk about Habakkuk and he was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm going to send this army in, and he did. And, you know, these things are total annihilation, total desolation, raping and pillaging and killing and murdering, and your armies are just wasted. There's nothing left. And so when we talk in the modern times, today we have nuclear weapons, and we have enough nuclear weapons. I can't remember where we had seen it, but it had to do with the beginning of when we first, America first had a nuclear weapon. And they had talked about, it was a movie. I'm not going to say the movie, but at any rate, they had rightly went back in history and molded this into the movie. And at the time, and I remember in actuality reading this, and it was in the movie again, where the guy that helped develop it, they couldn't believe the power that they had developed or the power that was released. Now, see, today, our nuclear weapons, I think the last time I seen anything on it, they were 100 times more powerful than what was originally created. And so when you put that together with what we have today, and it is fitting that today even Putin came out and said that he's going to be willing to talk about their START treaty and other treaties that he had between Russia and America. Literally, we have enough nuclear weapons now that are 100 times, the last time I checked, as I said before, they were 100 times more powerful than the original ones. No telling what they are now. And we have literally enough to waste the planet. So when we're talking here in Isaiah about judgment, when we're talking about things happening, make no mistake, folks, when we're talking about this, you need to pay attention, because we're dealing with people back in the time of Isaiah. He saw this literally. Now, the prophet John saw what was coming, and he wrote Revelation or the Apocalypse. And Isaiah also has another one. We're going to get to that when we get to Isaiah 24. I call it Isaiah's Apocalypse. When you put all these things together, you have a devastation that is far worse. And you could really, when it says here to lay bare or be naked or total desolation, solitude, there's nothing left. A stark naked condition is what Kyle and Delish say. That's exactly what it means, stark naked. But see, when you do a nuclear weapon and the abilities we have, and we're going to be heading into the great tribulation and the end of this one of these days. And when you put all that together, when the armies of the East move, a third of mankind are going to get killed. And that's includes China, by the way. And many feel that when they move, India will move with them, and a lot of the others over there, North Korea, when the armies of the East move, 100 million man army, which China can field right now, but they'll have the entirety of the Far East that will be marching towards Jerusalem. And so at that time, a third of mankind are going to get killed as well. Many people see into a lot of these scenarios, nuclear weapons. We do find the burying. It'll take 6 months to bury the dead. We see a lot of other things also about the end of days when we discuss these things. So there's nothing about it. There's nothing in this that makes you want to be here when this happens. It is absolutely devastating. So when we talk about devastation in Isaiah's day, this is devastating. The prophet was devastated when he seen this. He was given it, but, he clearly, when he writes this and when he says some of this, you can tell that it is one of those things that this prophet is just absolutely amazed at the devastation. Now, in verse 3 of Isaiah 17, The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim. Now, Ephraim has always had a problem. Ephraim being the son of Joseph, and he was, of course, one of those that Ephraim has always had problems. Joseph, of course, was carried away to Egypt, became the second most powerful. He married the daughter of an idolatrous priest, but this woman would have come to the Lord God because Joseph did know the Lord God. It was clear that he did. So he would have had a good witness. She would have come. And Joseph himself, and when we have out of Ephraim, we have the blessings of the Gentiles flowing out of him. But Ephraim has always been one of those nations that it was like a pancake half turned. Scripture says it wasn't flipped over to be fully cooked. It was never fully finished. In other words, it wasn't fully into what the rest of the tribes were, didn't fully get into the law and the prophets or anything like that. It was kind of left out. It had a lot of idolatrous tendencies to it. But yet Ephraim is also one where we see as being one that comes back from that so-called state. And here the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord. So Ephraim loses the fortified cities, which once served as defenses. And Damascus loses its rank as a kingdom, and the reason it loses is because of the judgment that happened to it. And those that are left of Aram, that is those who do not fall in the war, become like the proud citizens of the kingdom of Israel, carried away into captivity. Now, all this was done under, again, when Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, in the days of Menahem, Pekahiah, and Pekah, kings of Israel, and of Utham, Jotham, and Ahaz, kings of Judah. This is when Tiglath-Pileser moved, and this is when all this devastation happened to these. And of course, you know, when we relate in modern history, the nearest we can come to is when Hitler moved from Germany all the way to the coast of Europe, and they stood on the shores, you know, looking across to Great Britain. And, you know, for some reason, Hitler never did go any further than that, because by the time he got ready to do that, the Allies got involved in it, and there was D-Day, and that forced him back. So there was, you know, I believe that absolutely Hitler raised out of the gutter by the devil. I believe that there was demonic forces that thought this was the time for the beast to rule, and they were going to use Hitler to do it. Hitler very well could have done it. He had a lot of stuff that nobody else had. He was on the verge of creating a lot of things, including nuclear weapons, flying saucers, and other things. They had supernatural things happened in Germany as well when the world was fighting them. So, you know, in modern history, Hitler is probably the nearest thing that we see to true devastation as far as world wars. Now, we've had a lot of wars. We've had a lot of smaller conflicts, and we've kept the nuclear weapons out of their hands. We're talking about these verses in Isaiah 17. We're talking about a true devastation of those that were involved. And in that day, that's verse 4 of Isaiah 17, it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob, and of course this refers to the kingdom of Israel, but it also refers to all of Israel, shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax clean. The glory of Jacob, that which they depended on, which was not the Lord God of Israel. The whole of Israel had faced judgment after Solomon's sin. And, of course, they had a trouble. Eventually, the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, and, of course, they made up their own who they serve, which was not the Lord God. And they were carried away captive. And then, of course, you had Judah that fell later. And Jeremiah spent a long time warning them, and they were carried away to Babylon. So we had these two houses that were created. Both ended up being judged. And here, verse 5, we're in verse 4 now. When you get to verse 5, it says, "And it shall be, as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arms, as shall be as he that gathereth the ears in the valley of Rephaim." Now see, whenever we're talking about judgment, there is always a reaping. And the reaping usually comes at the end of the sowing. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And Israel had spent a long time sowing iniquity, falling away from the Lord God, trying to serve various other gods, Ashtoreth and Baal and others, and the Queen of Heaven, along with the Lord God of Israel. It didn't work. And so just like, my grandfather was a farmer. And one of the pictures I have of him is standing in his cornfield. He had a record corn harvest that year, and he wasn't a real tall man. He wasn't a big man. He was a Dutchman, and he was thin, very, very tough, and for his size, he was tough as nails. And I remember a picture of him smiling out in the middle of the cornfield. You could almost see him out there, because the corn was so lush. And so when we're talking about the harvest, this is a lush harvest, but it's not something you're going to eat. This is the judgment. This is that which God reaps. And make no mistake about it. And I've got that. We're going to talk about this and this. And this is, I think, when we're talking about this chapter, the most important part of this chapter is what we're about going to talk about, and that's judgment. America and the nations need to understand this. One of these days they're going to understand it. You can't keep lying and cheating. You can't keep serving other gods. You can't keep murdering. You can't keep stealing and thieving. You can't keep doing what you're doing, and that's sowing to witness. Now, one day there's going to be a harvest of the righteous and harvest of the wicked. And it's going to be first on this earth, and it's going to come through the great tribulation, and there's going to be horrific things happen in the earth. And a man who is alive will be one of the most precious things that you see. And when I refer to men, I mean both men and women. I mean the human species. Because they would have destroyed the earth. When the Lord comes, he'll destroy those who have destroyed the earth. Because there are people, human beings today, that plot to do this, to destroy the earth. Just like there are billionaires like George Soros who spends his money to overthrow governments. I've quoted him several times as saying that he has learned to act to be as God and bring down nations. And that's what he likes to do. That's why he puts billions of dollars to change America to what he wants. And this is what some of these people do. Everybody sows. And so, and it'll be as when the harvestman gathers the corn. And of course, for Israel, they were ripe for judgment. But see, I got news for you. It's not just Israel. In this particular thing, Isaiah is dealing with this. He's dealing with the Damascus judgment. He's dealing with Ephraim. But every one of those nations got judged anyway. And if in today, look at how big of a mess Syria is today. You look at Assad's kingdom. His kingdom is a mess. He sits over there as the one ruler. He's got Russia helping him. But the bottom line of it is, especially for Christians, it's a death trap. And so now you have Erdogan going in there, and this is just the beginning. And what are you going to do when you add the rest of what we know as prophecy coming in here? You're not going to have nothing left. Now let's go to John 4:35-38 and relate some of this about the judgment. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, you are entered into their labors. Now, Paul talks about this in the reaping and the laboring and working together. But see, although this is talking about a righteous judgment and a righteous laborer going in, harvest, laboring into the field, the gospel field, it is more than that, because there is a reaping of wickedness. There's a sowing of wickedness, and there's a fulfillment. And Revelation 14:14-20, and looked and behold a white cloud, and a cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, in case you don't know what a sickle is, it's something that you go in the old days, it was used to cut the grains and stuff, and then they would use those grains, take them and shake them. They'd wait for the heads, of course, to be full, and that's where we get, the Feast of Weeks, what waiting for the harvest to become full, and then give the first fruits of that harvest unto the Lord. That's the whole thing. It follows Pentecost, or not Pentecost, but Passover, and then 50 days later, you do have Pentecost. So all these things is talking about reaping and a harvest after you've sowed, the seed. And in Revelation 14, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, throw out thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest on the earth is ripe. Now see, this is the harvest, and there's a harvest unto righteousness. There's a harvest unto unrighteousness. There's two harvests that are going to be harvested in the earth. This is clear from the Gospels and clear throughout. And this is what you have to understand. You can't just do what you want to and expect everything's going to be fine. You can't lie and cheat. You can't be divided. You can't kill and murder. You can't steal. You can't bear false witness. You can't keep committing fornication. You can't keep committing adulteries. Now, see, Israel were judged. And they were judged harshly, and so were the other heathens in the time. Matter of fact, when we look upon the judgments, and I've said this many, many times, Israel wasn't judged as hard as many of the others, because they lost only two houses to judgment, and one was brought back. But when we look at the judgment on the heathen nations, Israel took over where the other nations were run out because of what they had done, and God warned them not to do what they did. In the first, during the times of Noah, which many unbelievers today and even scientists will say these are just mere stories. No, they're not mere stories. These are things that relate what happened in the beginning, and they're to teach you a lesson if you're smart enough to receive them. God, it repented God that he had made men, and that's when he flooded the earth. And then, of course, we get into Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham interceded there, but in the bottom line of it is he couldn't find enough righteous to save the town. It was destroyed, and you will find brimstone and fire in that judgment. And then you go on there to Nineveh, which did repent, and 70 years later forgot what they had repented, and God destroyed them, judged them mercy. You can find also the judgment on Babylon. He tells the Jews to let Jerusalem come to your mind. Get out of Jerusalem. I mean, get out of Babylon. In Revelation, when we talk about Revelation 18 and the judgment of Babylon, he says, come out of my people and be not caught up in this. And there's a call to the church. There's a call to the Christian believers to come out of it, just like there is here. You know, God is saying he sent this to Isaiah, and Isaiah is telling them this ahead of time and letting them know, don't do those things. Stop it and repent so you're not caught up in the judgment. But see, so this is why God sent the prophets. God even said, I woke early by sending you the prophets. He sent the prophets long before. He sent Jeremiah long before the judgment happened, and he told Jeremiah that they wouldn't listen. But Jeremiah went anyway. See, this is what this is about. We are preaching and teaching the Word of God in America today. We have a lot of churches in America today, but yet the gospel is not preached as it should be. We have a lot of churches. We have a lot of Christianity, but the Christianity has lost its savor. There's not enough salt in order to counterbalance the meat going bad, to counteract what is out there. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth so we can make a difference in society. We have a society right now that glorifies an evil and wickedness and corruption. We teach our kids lies and filthiness and godlessness, and we rejoice when we do so. And we have people that are our leaders that stand up in the middle of the houses that our forefathers gave their lives for when they fought this first war, and then they wrote the Declaration of Independence, and we eventually had the Bill of Rights. They stand up there and call that justice and lie through their teeth. God is not going to allow this forever. And we have people lying and thieving over in China. They do the same thing. They sit there and crack down on Christian churches. They throw people like Wang Yi in prison, destroy the church, and they justify it because they're communists. That isn't going to be justified on the day of judgment. There's not going to be any justification there for that at all. We see the same thing in Pakistan and in India and many other governments. We see it out in the EU. We see it in the UK, where governments and people run by people who have special interests and they want favors and they're wicked and they're deceitful. See, this is coming to an end, but before it does, God is going to judge the nations harshly. And one of the things they're found is when he sends the son of perdition in, because they rejected the love of the truth and they will believe a lie. Now, see, this is the judgment. And so when we're talking of Isaiah, we're speaking judgment here. We're speaking God intervening into the things of men. And believe me, you're not going to like that. And so in verse 17, another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. So you have one upon a cloud with a sickle. You have another coming out of the temple with a sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, which was in heaven, and he had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. I can guarantee you this is the time of judgment right here. It's been building up to where you don't think it could get any worse, and then it gets worse. And then it reaches a climax. You think it won't get any worse, and it still gets worse. And it gets worse and gets worse, and it gets worse. And it's going to get so bad that Scripture tells us that unless the Lord shortens the day, there would be no flesh left alive. So we know from Revelation that there's going to be those that are going to be wicked who are purposeful trying to destroy the earth for their own end. And I can tell you Erdogan or Iran, for the sake of Islam, both of them would be willing to destroy as much of the earth as they can in order to bring in their one world Islamic rule. They would be willing to do that. And they're not the only ones. There are a lot of people who would be willing to do that just to get their own way. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. So he gathers all of humanity up that is caught within that net. Now, see, by the time you get to the end of this, when we talk about most of the Christian believers, and you'll say, I can hear you say, oh, yeah, sure, the Christians escape. Well, no, the Christians, not all of them do escape. Matter of fact, some of them are like Laodicea. Some of them are like Sardis, the dead church. So they're going to go through the tribulation. They're going to go through some of this because they're not where they need to be. No, and there's not going to be any pre-trib or mid-trib rapture either, but there is going to be a time that the Lord is coming back and he will gather his people. But there is coming a time when all of the martyrship, all those who are going to die and get murdered for their faith will come to an end. And we know that from the seals. And so in 20, the winepress was trodden without the city. And this is what we really classify as the apocalypse. This is what we'd classify as Armageddon, Megiddo. This is where the Lord said himself many, many times. He said he would bring them down and judge them there. And so this is what he's going to do. And Jerusalem's going to be right in the center of it. And so that's why we say that Jerusalem's in the center of the earth, because all prophecy goes to Jerusalem and Israel, and that's where it goes. It doesn't center around America. It doesn't center around even Russia, although many people think Russia is going to be involved in the Gog-Magog invasion. Many see that as Ezekiel 38. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, by a space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, of course, when we look at Revelation, of course, where we can take it literal, we take it literal. But, what we're looking at here is a point to where this is a tremendous judgment. There is a lot of people that are going to die. And, of course, from all the stuff we know in Revelation, it's not going to be a good time to be on the earth. So what you need to do is know the Lord and trust him. Because remember Noah. Noah was there on the earth, and it repented God that he had made man, except for Noah and his family. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah wasn't raptured to heaven. He was put in a boat, sealed with some animals, and he went through that, but he was safe. Now we get to Lot. Lot was in Sodom. And it says that righteous man was vexed from day to day from the evil deeds which he had to behold, which he saw. And he was sent an angel, a couple of them, who told him he had to get out of town. Like the old Western, you got 5 minutes to get out of Dodge. Well, in this case, it was out of Sodom, and the one saying it was two angels. The children of Israel who were in Babylon were told quite pointedly, get out of Babylon and to let Jerusalem come to mind. In Mystery Babylon, we're told quite pointedly, to come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her sins or plagues. So if you're wrapping your pony and your hope around America and the nations of men, you bought the wrong horse. This is not going to work real well. And it's not going to work real well because there's a lot of evil people. And it's not going to work real well because the Lord is going to be judging. And this nation is going to be judged. And any nation that has people in it that passes laws, that kills babies, and they want to kill them up to the time of a woman having a baby out of her womb, that nation, when you talk about morality, you don't even know what moral is. You have not a clue. You are blinded by your own sins, and woe upon you. And you will deserve everything you get. So I tell you, you need to repent. Now, Isaiah 17:6, yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches, saith the Lord God. Now, that's one thing. I remember many years ago when I was in MYF camp, that's the Methodist Youth Foundation camp, was up in Shell Canyon. It's probably still there. They had lots of trees that had apples. And in that same little valley, there's other places that have crops just like that. But in order to get the apples out of the trees, if you waited and let them fall to the ground, many times the bugs and worms would get them. And even if you shook it to try to catch them all, you never could get them out, because up in the upper branches and things where you couldn't reach, there was always some nice apple or something you couldn't reach. And so this is what it's saying. That thing's going to be shaken, but there's going to be some clear up there that are left. So not all of that harvest is going to be removed from those trees, because they're firmly rooted into that tree. It doesn't mean that those up in the top are bad. It just means they're rooted into the tree. It's not time for them to fall because they're rooted. And see, as Christians, we need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be walking in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1. See, and we need to be rooted in him. So when God is doing the shaking, the others can fall out of the tree. But you and I, where are we? We're up there like that one little grape, that one little apple that's sitting clear up there. And no matter what you're trying to do to shake it off, it hangs up and you can't reach it by ladder. You can't reach it with the stick. It's just up there. See, it's just like if you go to some of these islands that a deserted island or something clear out in the Pacific or South Pacific, and they have these coconut trees. There's no water on them. The only water is in the green coconuts. Well, there's one problem. They're clear up in the top of the tree. Very few of them are going to fall down and be able to drink down there. You got to get the green ones clear up in the tree, hanging onto the side, and you got to climb up to get it. See, when we're talking about reaping, you can't just go get it because it's there. It takes work. Now, if I've got it grown in the ground, that's easy. But see, what the Lord is saying, not all is going to be lost here. This is during the judgment. This is during the reaping. This is during the shaking. It's time. And yet there's going to be a few of these grapes left during this judgment. There's going to be some of them. They're going to be left. They're going to, you know, a small remnant. They're going to be the ones believing and looking to the Lord as God. Now, see, the reason I say that is because verse 7 says this. At that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Now, you see, I've said this time and time again. Judgment is redemptive. For those who have ears to hear, it's going to go well. For those who do not, they're going to fall from the tree. They're going to fall from the vine. Judgment is redemptive. There's going to be a small remnant left who believes. They're going to look to his maker. He will have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And us today, what does that mean? People will repent. People will come unto Jesus, Yahshua, and they will repent. They will seek his face and they will cling to him. And nothing is going to shake them loose. No matter what you do, no matter how bad you treat them, no matter what prison you put them in, no matter if you kill them. Because in Revelation 12:11 describes why. These are those who overcame, past tense, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So while we look at Isaiah and we say, oh, that's Old Testament, a lot of difference. No, you got to look at the truths here, baby. There is some truth here today. And there is, number one, there is going to be this judgment, a judgment of the righteous and a judgment of the wicked. Number two, in the judgment of the wicked, when the great judgment comes on this earth, not everybody is going to be shaken from the tree. There's going to be those who will look their maker and they'll respect to the Holy One of Israel. They'll have respect to the Lord. Now, let me preface that by saying, in the New Testament, we also know that there will be those who have the mark of the beast. And once you take the mark of the beast, it'll be too late. So this will be before the whole world takes the mark of the beast. And let me tell you, a majority of them will. And so when we look at all of this, it is true that today you and I have to understand really how blessed we are to have a Savior who came and died on the cross for us. A Savior who has given us a way to get to us, given us a way to find forgiveness, given us a way to be redeemed. And so with that, we're going to start at verse 8 next time. But just remember this lesson tonight and be encouraged, because there's a lot of things coming and they're going to be frightening. They're going to be uncomfortable at times, but they are uncomfortable for a reason, to draw you to your Maker through Christ Jesus. When all of this stuff is going on in Washington, when things are happening, just stop and look to the Lord. Sit, be quiet, and seek His face. You have to be connected. John 15, for without me you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you are the branches. It's the same thing as Isaiah in the uppermost bough of the tree. The Lord is the vine, we are the branches. We must stay connected. Father, thank you for your word. Bless those that hear this, help them to understand and draw closer to you. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, receiving of this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a good word tonight. And encouraging, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing of it is that it's amazing what you can find in some of the Old Testament.
Oh, I know.
You know.
Well, I'm glad for His word, because we've been warned of what's coming. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
That's right. And that's a good scripture too, especially in today's age.
Oh my goodness, I use it a lot.
And you know, in America, we may think we're getting bothered over impeachment, but truly, folks, if you were in China, Wang Yi's big church, and everybody there, you know, it's no more. It's not there anymore. Now, the people that went to the church are there, but a lot of them are in prison. And
yeah,
we find Christians
tragic.
Every day getting murdered. So whenever you think you've got it tough in America or the West, think of your brethren in Christ. And be sure to give to those ministries that are on the ground that are helping them. For instance, Samaritan's Purse is over helping those in Iraq, because these are the ones that came out of northern over there in Syria, where Erdogan came in. They went into Iraq, and over there in Iraq, Samaritan's Purse is over there helping them. So at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to join the Watchman tomorrow for Sound the Shofar. We love you. We're praying for you, for God's best for you. Have a good night, everybody.
Folks, thank you for listening. Be sure to go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles, pass them, share them, get them out. Help us to get these things out. Get it into the hands of others. Good night. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.